started, call to order at 6 o'clock.
All right, we have the attendance already?
Yes.
All right, any changes or additions to the agenda?
A few things under old business, update on the greater grant, mention of plowing on class threes, and the 200th anniversary of the renaming, just quick info on those things.
And then renaming. And I think Wendell has an update on the greater proposal.
Yeah, I do.
I'll add that to the... we don't have a grader on there, so that'll be... we'll do that on the road report. Well, let's just do it with the grant application under old...
Yeah, I don't have much for a road report.
Yeah. We'll do the update for the grader stuff there, too. And then we're going to table the Westover Road discussion. I need some more information. We think the board all needs some more information on that, so we're going to look into that a little further. So we'll table that. Okay, I'll look for a motion to approve the minutes.
Make a motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Ayes have it. Public comment, we don't have any. You said you don't have much for a road report, so we're going to go ahead and skip over that, and that'll bring us to you guys.
Great.
So you have the floor.
Thank you very much. Yep. When I saw that we were the seventh order on the agenda, yeah. I didn't expect you to run through the first six, so,
yeah, well,
so thank you.
If it was going to be long, I'd move you up, but yeah.
I appreciate
it. We try to respect the time.
So, yeah, I'll give you a little bit of background, introduce myself. My name is Will Marlier. I work with the Orleans County Natural Resource Conservation District as their Lake Watershed Program Specialist. A big part of my role is helping landowners and municipalities figure out how to move forward with the Lake Watershed Action Plans that were recently completed on their lakes. And so what that looks like is... I work with individual private landowners to install restoration projects or just help them figure out how they can manage their property in a productive way for the lake. And then also when it comes to municipalities, if there are recommendations in that Lake Watershed Action Plan, I can help them figure out how to move forward with it. And so that's kind of why I'm here tonight. And what I'm hoping to accomplish is just... bring some attention back to this design that was completed by the Memphremagog Watershed Association through this Lake Watershed Action Plan. I'm happy to answer any questions as to what their recommendations are or why they've made them. And I want to just say I understand that, Wendell, I'm sure you have plenty to do on the roads without adding something else to your plate. We do feel that this is a good priority that will benefit the lake, and additionally, it should help shore up the infrastructure on that road for future storms to prevent additional washouts or maintenance down the road. No pun intended. So I think that, yeah, that's the gist of it, and I'm happy to get into answering any questions, or if, Tom, you feel like I've forgotten something, please remind me.
Has he forgotten anything?
I don't think so.
Great.
So there's a lot here.
Yeah.
Is there one that's more striking than others for you guys? Or
if one change were to be made instead of the full suite of the changes, you mean? Like a highest priority?
Well, I mean, it's a lot of work, a lot of projects.
Absolutely.
A lot of different sections.
Yeah.
So I guess my question is, if you were to look at this and you could grab one that you had a possibility of looking at, what would that be?
Sure. I do think that making sure that all of the culverts are upsized appropriately is probably more immediately important than the stone-lined ditches there. I'd have to go back and check to see, you know, how far below recommendation each of these culverts are. I've got
the existing ones below.
Right, exactly. So I think that probably where you have smallest culvert as opposed to the biggest difference in size is probably the most important, because mm-hmm. that would be most likely to wash out or not be able to handle the load of stormwater going through it.
Yep.
I do have in my notes here, if you look at project area 3, it says on the kind of center bottom, slightly to the right, replaced with 30-inch culvert. I did, when I went back out there earlier this month, notice that that one is currently a 12 or an 18-inch culvert. So that would be a pretty significant upsize there.
So you said the bottom right, so the one all the way over to the right that says replaced with a 24-inch culvert? Is that the cross culvert that crosses the road?
I'm looking at project area 3.
Yeah. So on the first project page, last one down, right?
No, second to last.
Oh, sorry. Okay, so it's labeled below it. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Replaced with 30-inch culvert.
So the one that comes down off somebody's property there?
Right. Yeah, I thought it was interesting. So again, I didn't create these designs, but I have been in touch closely with Patrick Hurley and the rest of the staff there at MWA, and I could follow up specifically if there was interest from this board to pursue one or two of the improvements.
That wasn't why I asked.
Okay.
I was just like, I mean, this is a lot of work. We're,
sure.
If we did some, if we did, I just, if we wanted to focus on one. But I'm intrigued here. So this culvert is 50, 60 feet long? I mean, just looking at it, it goes way up into the person's property and it has an angle in it?
No, so what you're looking at there is a recommendation to add a stabilized outfall with stone. So if you see that kind of textured area.
So, no, the green, I'm referring to the green line where it says to replace with a 30-inch culvert. That green line goes all the way up into the property owner across the road from the lake.
Yeah, I mean.
Is that the project you were referring to that was.
That is the one I'm looking at, yes.
Is there a culvert that goes that far up into that guy's property?
No.
No, there is a culvert, but it probably doesn't extend quite that far. Does that seem right to you, Michael?
Yeah, it doesn't go that far.
Yeah.
Our culvert's hanging over 40 feet long.
Right. So I...
okay.
I wonder if it's because the road might be slightly thinner there,
that it's extending so far,
if they used just like a standard length for the culvert and didn't.
I'm assuming that so I think I can see here. So if you look at the green line, it gets wider when it gets above a little bit. And I think it turns into the recommendation on the top, daylight buried stream, create stabilized outfall, restore channel and buffer.
Yeah, so there's that recommended stabilized outfall is approximately twice the length of that culvert. And that's where you're seeing that angle in it.
So it looks like it's probably affecting two properties there that... request.
Yeah, it does get right up against that property line. I mean,
so have you guys worked with these properties to? Right, this is like the.
Yeah, I mean, it does. If that outfall were to be installed, it would certainly have to be negotiated with the landowner.
Do you know what's there for a call right now, Wendell?
Well, I'm trying to figure out exactly where this is on West Lake Road.
So the landowner has to take care of.
Whereabouts is it?
Like, I guess I'm not.
So it's starting about a quarter mile.
Let me see your picture.
Yeah, sure. Let me see if I've got these in my house.
And your picture seems to be better, right?
So let me just make sure it is sequential. Let me see which one's closest to the dam. And then, yeah, so this is working from Bennett Farm Road down, whereas area one would be right kind of just a quarter mile.
So it's just above the dam. So is that? So what you're talking about is just before the fields.
I almost think it's if it's 952.
It's so it's 994 is the property that kind of stone would be on.
Is that by the pull off where the lady?
No, was I don't think so. No. I think it's up.
Wi-Fi to work.
It's up by the. It's up near that horse farm in that area. I think. Is that right, Will?
Or is it before that?
Let me see if I can pull it up on my phone on a map here.
I think there's. I think there's three. Are there like three houses up in there, Will?
So there's
Sorry, I can't. I know the 950. It's just, I think it's coming up the hill from the dam, Wendell. You're the top of the hill.
Okay, well, I know coming up from the hill at the dam, the first culvert is a 12 inch. And it's on my list. But then there's only, then there's an 18, and then it goes up the hill.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of ledge right
here. So it looks like
it's at the top of the hill, I think, Will. I mean, Wendell, and just down there on the left.
I know what you're going to say, it's crazy, but Blackberry Patch, where the guy has all the blueberries? Blueberries are on the right?
Yeah.
I think, is that where you're talking?
Somewhere in that neighborhood, but I'm sorry.
This is where we're talking. So
I have a really good view of that, too.
When was the report prepared? Or the recommendation? Or
so here's the dam. There's a
report.
About halfway, I guess.
When was this report prepared?
Yeah.
The report was, the designs were completed by the end of December 2024, so last year.
Yeah, and they did their on the ground survey in September.
So where are you talking about this culvert here? Because I know that there's a culvert right there.
Right. I'm talking about, I guess, the culvert right here.
There's one right there.
So
there's one buried between these houses. I did find one when I went out earlier this month.
Here?
Yeah.
And it's an 18 though, right?
For some reason, my notes say 12 to 18. I don't know if I wasn't able to get a good measurement on it for some reason.
All right, so if we decide we're interested in doing that section of the road, we'll dial that in. Tim, you had a question on that section we were talking about.
The property owner. I understand. It's going way up into this guy's property. He has to take care of all that. What's going on?
The stone? You mean not the culvert? But if he didn't,
You got lines going way up in.
Yeah, I would have to interface directly with the landowner, and I'd be happy to do that if that was something that the town wanted to do to upsize that culvert. I could reach out to the landowner, ask him if he would be interested in that, or what his concerns or what their concerns would be. But yeah, this is actually, I think, the only recommendation in these designs that go onto a private property instead of staying in the right of way. Okay. A few of them are private culverts across a private drive.
So I have a question for Wendell real quick. Have you had a chance to look at have you had a chance to understand the segments that are here? Were there some question on where that culvert is? So I'm just, the question.
No, I haven't. Okay. I don't understand exactly where every segment is that they're talking about.
So the question I have is any of these segments they're referring to a segment that needs to be upgraded by the requirement of better roads?
I can answer that. I did look into the REI and which segments are. Unfortunately, virtually none of these are below standard. They're all meet standard. I did reach out to MBDA to ask them about that because it seems somewhat contradictory that we're getting this report from MWA and yet all of these segments meet standards.
Yep.
And so they assured me basically that those two assessments are kind of looking at different things. So while it's meeting their standards for the purposes of the REI, they understand that there is still plenty of work that could be done for the good of the lake and in terms of water quality.
Yeah, and I know we've been for the last good few meetings talking about some of the real big issues that we have with inferior infrastructure, especially on class 4 roads or even some class 3 roads. We dealt with one the other day over on West Echo Lake Road, the Bennett Farm Road. Wendell was over there trying to do some work on it to get it, where it's a class 3 road. It needs to be, stabilized. The water's running right down it. And so I went over and met with Wendell, the property owner. And that section's on here as a recommendation to have some stone in the ditch. And I know that, I can see in the report that there's some talk about everybody being united on this, and I can tell you that property owner weren't united on having stone in that ditch.
Yeah, certainly. I actually did have the pleasure of speaking.
so we
Dean.
So we did, we were able to come to an agreement with the property owner, which is not a, a requirement of fixing these roads. The property owner has zero input in making that a class three road, or you know, we try to respect what we can, obviously. But we were able to put a ditch on the upper side of that road so that the water is not going down the road, crown the road, make the road wide enough for the grader. But there was no appetite to put any stone in that ditch, and that's one of the things that you guys have here. And I, just somebody that lives on a hill that went through the two major storms that we had, and so years ago they rebuilt Dane Hill and crowned it, and they got a grant for it. It was all, there was specs on how it had to be done, obviously, and ditch with riprap in the ditch, you know, the stone in the ditch that everybody's, you know, likes to see and requires, and it's very helpful in a lot of places. But that stone was there for quite a few years, and then we had this major hurricane or storm, whatever you want, the flood, and all that riprap washed out of the ditch and plugged everybody's culvert. So even though it was there, stabilized and there for a long time, I'm not sold that by putting riprap on Bennett Farm Road that if we have another 100-year storm, it doesn't end up in Echo Lake, because it's going to probably end up in the road. Because I just saw it happen.
Sure.
And so I don't know. I mean, there's definitely benefits to it, but I don't know that it's... So of all, if I look at, for me, if I look at trying to improve the major silt runoff into the Memphis-Magog watershed and try to get the best benefit for all residents in the town, we have some pretty severe locations that, I mean, we've gone in and just cut water bars into roads because we didn't want to put a culvert in there or whatever, and then a storm comes up and that whole road's down, right down in the Mepamigar watershed.
Yeah.
So that's why I asked, is these sections something that the state is saying, hey, this needs to be upgraded, this needs to be taken care of right now, which it sounds like no.
Well, so I would say that it's a little bit more complicated than that, unfortunately, because the Lake Watershed Action Plan was delivered in by the state, right? So it's a little bit, the state's talking out of both sides of its mouth here, where it's saying, yes, through the Lake Watershed Action Plan, this road needs to be upgraded, but no, through the MGRP or MRGP, it doesn't need to be upgraded.
Yeah. So the side of the mouth the state's talking out of that I'm listening to is the one that's handing the money out, which
sure.
is upgrade the roads
yes.
to get the money, and they're saying, hey, you should do this if you guys can make it happen and afford it, and but some of these, like I said, I don't understand where they all are, but some of these we just have replaced and upgraded them culverts to a standard that the state required.
Yeah, sure. Some of the work has been done.
And
right.
So,
my report reflects
so
that.
So we're recommending to take out a culvert the state asked us to upgrade to a certain size and replace it with a bigger culvert?
I think on one of those culverts, yes. One of the new ones that was replaced was slightly below what was recommended in these designs.
Is that the one by Dean Venice driveway?
It's the lowest of the new ones on that segment of road. You installed three new culverts right there, right? I can point out.
The site that you were looking at previously, Project Area 3, I show that as a 12-inch steel culvert on the inventory. So if the town were excavating, working in that area,
I would change it.
It would have to be changed to a larger.
Yes.
Yeah, but not... In the absence of other work, no. If it's working, it's the end.
Whose property is that calling?
Right, it's this one. I think that's the one you're talking about.
Yeah, that's the one you're talking about.
I had to pull
up
the three maps
it was
to figure it out.
It's up to a two-footer.
It's between...
Right.
Brophy, McKenna...
Do you know what size was in there prior to that storm?
18.
Fallen.
Or 12.
Yeah.
And it blew out, right? It blew out.
But...
Yeah, no,
but,
that's right. Okay.
Well,
so think about that. We upsized that, what, three times?
You went from a one-footer to two-footer?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, that's good. And
I almost think it's a 30.
I think
it
is. I measured it, and it was a 30 when I looked.
It's a 30.
So that's more than twice as much as it was. So, you know, if that six-inch improvement isn't something that we have
to... Did you notice what we did to the hill this week? At its hill?
I did. I saw there wasn't any ditching, though.
What's that?
I saw there wasn't really any ditching.
No ditching?
Oh, you go back. I saw.
No, where's the water going to go off from that hip road now?
Go in the fields.
That's right.
That's probably better than
guess who wanted that there? Like that?
Dean.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know why? His exact words be hella high water before Stone went down his field. Am I right, Pat, or am I not?
Yeah, yeah.
Actually,
so.
I know the landowner on the other side, he's okay with ditching.
But I think that you're going to find it. The water's going to be a lot cleaner now.
Yeah.
Going in there.
So, just to rewind a little bit, yes, improvements have been made, especially around the Bennett Farm, and that's a great starting point. Pat, the comment you made, you go pay more attention where the money is, super reasonable, and I totally understand. I couldn't be here doing this work right now if I wasn't being paid to do it. So, I have the funds through my role with OCNRCD to help connect Charleston with funding to get this done. And I can help look at different ways to do that. When I spoke with the staff at MBDA, they did mention that it's possible for the municipality, if you decide it's the right move, to change the REI for these segments so that you can apply for Better Roads funding. They said that that's a pathway that you could go if you wanted to. And I'm also committed to looking for other ways to provide funds for this project.
So Better Roads is a max grant on that, right?
20,000 on a $25,000 project.
That's the max for the year. Yeah. So so basically, you'd be asking us to take our one grant for the year and use it on that project.
I don't think I could, in good faith, ask you to do that without knowing fully what your other projects
are. Well, we got plenty. I got a question on Project Area 6. So there's a big area here that says restore wetland impact. What does that refer to? And what is that? It looks like it takes up a good portion of the person's property there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That, if I had designed it, I probably would not have included on this design because it seems like that is something that, again, is up to the private landowner to do. I don't think there's any onerous responsibility for the town to tackle that. I do understand some of the history related to that on that property, but I'm not 100% sure it's relevant.
All right, Tim, do you have any questions?
No, I don't.
So I believe my recommendations or my requests at the end of that report included simply the goodwill of this board for me to work possibly with Colleen. I'm not sure how you're typically looking for funding for the town. And just look and see if I can get some money connected to get this done without taking away from your other projects, because I don't think that would be reasonable.
So just for me, and I'll let Tim give his input, but I'm hearing a lot of there's property owner projects, there's projects that are kind of oversized from where they should be. I don't want to give my support to go down the road to do these projects unless we can, like, you know, that's why I asked, this is really large, really big, and focused on one section, about a mile and a half of road. Is it $257,000?
Yeah, it's quarter. Some of which has already been spent, as we know.
Yeah. So the projects that I just have in the back of my mind that we've been dealing with and that we've been... Wendell's done a lot of projects this year to increase the likelihood that these roads won't wash out if we get another flood, and he's done it as cheap as possible without replacing culverts that are viable. I think about the big box culvert we had on the Hudson Road that was, I think it's like 4 feet deep. It was less than a foot and a half deep. Mm-hmm. And there was no money or recommendation from an organization like this to get that gravel out of that culvert. And just knowing the lay of the land and how this works, that was top priority for us. Mm-hmm. And we'll probably save the Hudson Road next time we get that rain. my concern is to put an organization down this route when we have, I mean, I just feel like the focus is in the wrong area, if you ask me. There might be some projects here that are viable, but there's a, nobody looked at the town. Like, I would rather see somebody look at the town and say, because I think if this same report was done by the same organization for the whole town, we'd probably have a different 10 recommendations, right? Maybe I'm wrong. This was definitely, yeah, on the Methamare Watershed. This was definitely a report written to upgrade a bunch of stuff on Agua Lake Road. There's no doubt. And some of that stuff could be effective in saving some silt runoff, right? But the stuff that I'm referring to is guaranteed to save major silt runoff. And we've seen it over and over. And I only bring up the one on the Hudson Road because we went and met with the property owner of the state, and, you know, there was some talk about going all the way up off the road and dredging that river, major, major project, right? We didn't even go down that road. We're like, that's a little more than Charles can bite unless the state feels really drastic about that process and they need to step up and fix that. Sure. So we did what we could do in-house. So, I mean, part of me would love to do every project that, you know, I mean, you want a 30, let's put in a 36, but we just can't viably that I know of. So unless, and I don't want Colleen's resources and Wendell's resources being dogged down in something that we're just, you know, hoping to get to, you know what I mean? If it's the Better Roads grant that you're looking at, that's not viable. We're going to use that somewhere else. It's a $20,000 grant.
Yeah.
We need 10 of those, 15 of those, so that's not going to be an option for this project.
Well, to be honest with you, we're using that by the river on Mill Street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a big area right there. And it's running right into the river.
Yeah.
That's another one. And that ain't even counting the bridge up on Westmore Mountain, okay, they just barely went from a 4-foot culvert to a 8-foot tall by 12-foot wide. You know, I mean, that... How do you expect the town to...
We keep seeing the standards jump up and trying to stay ahead of it. I mean, and I don't, you know, some of the things I've seen in my, just my travels and construction and around the state, like some of the things just, no matter how hard they try, it blows out. So how do we get ahead of that? I don't know. And you know, like when I hear about, like the, on the West Agua Lake Road where they didn't want to ditch. Now, if the water can flow quickly out of the road, it's not flowing down the road, and it just... silts out into a field, that's the best option than gathering it into a ditch and making it go down to a culvert.
Yeah,
you know, like the conversation we were having on, I think it's the East Echo Lake Road, where they wanted to make it not cross the road, but go all the way down and go in. All that's going to do is gather so much more water when we have these major storms and take everything out. The quicker you can get that water to dissipate out of the travel portion or out of... I mean, even out in the middle of the woods where they do logging, I mean, you're making that water travel all the way down, and it ends up right down on the road, washes everything out. So somebody goes up into the woods and says, we need to make that water stop going down this canal.
So that's actually just, you mentioned that grant on Dane Hill. I want to go way back before Colleen's time. That actually was written by someone on Echo Lake.
Yep.
And the whole reason was that Dane Hill was going into the Clyde.
Yep.
I mean, almost every time it rained, it was going across the road. I don't know if you remember that.
Tom Jones.
Yeah, we're all in favor of that. I mean, just keep it, try to keep as much out of any water body here in Charleston as we can.
Yeah.
Right.
If I could clarify one point, the idea about updating the inventory to show a segment in need versus not in need is about the presence of erosion. It's not just an arbitrary thing. So if the highway department on checking roads does see erosion at one of these areas and starts looking at what needs to be done, that would be a time when these recommendations could be acted upon. Is it a good plan to kind of keep in touch with the watershed action plan? Because if the town gets to a point where the road requires that culvert replacement, that might be a time to light a fire under adjacent landowners saying, you know, the town's doing this, this would be a good time if you're willing, you know, to do it in concert. So that could be a way to just kind of keep in touch about work on both sides going forward.
Sure, and I should mention that additionally, there were some private drive projects identified in that Lake Watershed Action Plan along this segment of road, separate from what you see in this design here. There were four of them. We reached out to those landowners, and they'd all like to move forward with improving their private tribes. There's appetite there, and I'll be managing that project, applying for grants, and hopefully improving those four private tribes. Part of what we had hoped was that we could have that kind of happening in concert with improvements to this segment of road, so that there wouldn't be any kind of anything left hanging between an upgrade to a private drive or an upgrade to the road and one not responding in kind.
Which section was that?
They're kind of scattered throughout. There's four, and I have the four addresses written down in my files, but not on.
So it's not like one segment we could like tackle and work together with landowners. I mean, to Colleen's point, like I asked about Area 6, right? Like the restoration of the wetlands impact. There's quite a section of ditches and culverts for the town to deal with stone and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if that area is identified as an area we need to do, is there some way we can access some funds to get that landowner to do that? I mean, I got a feeling that's going to be pretty expensive for the landowner to restore that wetlands, right?
Right.
Well, yeah, well,
and
yes.
If I were the town, I wouldn't want to get involved.
Yeah, no.
No. I'm just saying, like, so the people that wrote this recommendation, Area 6, they said the stone in the ditch, change the upsize of the culverts, restore the wetland.
Right.
So if the town does everything in there in proposed Project 6 and the landowner doesn't,
yeah,
it really didn't get anywhere. So we got some upsized culverts.
I'd say that you got everywhere except for the wetland. I don't think that these were supposed to be packaged as an all or nothing type deal. I think that this is supposed to be iterative. Anything that can be done is an improvement, and just if, you know, one thing is left behind, I don't think that throws it all out the window.
Okay.
Well, we do plan on going up there this next summer, and that's Echo Lake is one of the roads that we plan on focusing on next year for ditching.
No, we'll see where the budget comes out.
Right, and that's going to be where we are.
I know the last couple of years we've done a ton. I mean, we're always going to be doing work everywhere, but
right,
we've done a ton of work around the lake. So, I mean, there's no, I don't think there's any feeling that we're neglecting any projects over there.
Right.
Do you guys have anything else?
I guess what I'd like to say is, see, the Watershed Action Plan for Echo and Seymour is unique in that the state, there have been others before us, like maybe 10. That organization had to find the funding, find the organization to evaluate it, to write the report. The state came to us and said, no, this is such a big watershed. We're going to provide the grant. We're going to find the organization like the Mempermegar Watershed to do the analysis. So it would seem, and since they've agreed with these recommendations, it would seem like we ought to be able to be optimistic and get some funding. So if we could continue to do a little more research into this, it just seemed like there's maybe other pots of money from that initiative that would be available other than the municipal road grants.
So they funded that study because it's part of the Mempermegog Watershed, right?
Pardon me?
They funded the study because it's part of the
yes.
Mempermegog Watershed.
Right, yeah.
Which is kind of what I was, my personal opinion is that there's substantial problems in the Mempermegog Watershed in the town of Charleston. And I don't know that this is top on the list. Right? Like, I can take you to three roads today that you would go, oh, that's just going to wash right down into the Clyde River. Which then, you know, I mean, like he said about Mill Street that we're going to use that grant on. Although Mill Street's water is below Echo Lake, it does feed into the two other ponds in our town and then into Magog. So I think, you know, I mean, there's huge problems with this silt runoff, right? And it's everywhere. And so that's some of my focus the last few meetings has been trying to figure out what upgrades need to be done to these Class 4 roads that have not been substantially maintained or at all maintained over the years, just because it's such a big project, right? So I would love to see $250,000 available to stabilize a Class 4 road that's a major problem for generations to come, right? So I'm not saying that this is not needed, and I'm not saying that we don't do some of these projects when they come up and we have to do them. I don't know that this is needs to be the top focus of the whole town. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, I think that that's reasonable. I'm here in part to open a conversation to try and provide myself, my expertise, and my time to the town as a resource to be able to use. If you think that there are other places, I mean, granted, it would have to be in the Mount Magog watershed. I'd be happy to take a look. I'd be happy to answer questions. I'd be happy to seek funding for other things. I want to be able to work with you guys and help figure this out if possible. And if this isn't a project that you have appetite for, I'd be interested in what you think
I know
is
one
a bigger priority, because it's possible that when this design was done, that something was missed.
One of the projects that I've been kind of trying to figure out and focused on, we've been discussing, is Town Farm Road. It runs right down the Hudson Road, right into the Clyde River. Every time we have a hurricane, the whole road's in the field right there at the bottom of the, right on the edge of the Clyde River. This is one of the roads that, like, when a culvert's bad, a 10 or 12 inch steel culvert, for years the town's gone up, taken it out, and just put a berm in, you know, just put a water barrier in. Because, you know, the standard for Class 4 is four-wheel drive accessible.
Yeah.
Not trying to get to any more accessibility than that, but because of the way the road is made with the banks on the side and it's just been washed out for years, it's just unstable. So, I mean, like, whenever there's a storm, we know it's gone. We know the road's washed out. The people that live up there or the camps, they know it's gone. And so we constantly haul... last couple of times, I remember the town just reloaded the stuff in the field and hauled it back up into the road, right, to try to... So those are major impacts. I mean, that's just one thing to think of. I know that we have some problems up on Westmore Mountain with that.
Lost the whole mountain last year.
Yeah, I mean, the amount of water... And kind of what I was talking about, when these rivers kind of converge together on the road bases, on the edge of roads and down the brooks, and then they meet an intersection where we got a bridge, and all the wood comes down and takes out the bridge. You know, I mean, I don't know what the fix for that is, but I know I can't support bankrupting the town to try to get ahead of that. I think that it's a bigger question federally or state, or like, how do we figure this out? But I know that there's a lot of areas down through the Memphis Magog watershed that are issues, right? Not around the main roads and stuff. It's always where they hit these side roads.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that river starts at Island Pond. Echo Lake and Seymour feed into it right here in Charleston. And, you know, whatever we can do that's best for that whole watershed, I think, is beneficial for the Riverbend State, you know. But.
Yeah, and so then I have a question that I apologize. You know, I just started recently in this position, so I wasn't here when this Lake Watershed Action Plan was being put together. Did MWA come to this select board and ask your opinion on which segments of road they should be concerned about? Do we know if there was communication with the town directly?
Well, they came to the meetings more than once, but it wasn't phrased like that. Like, here's what our recommendations are here. We want to keep you informed of,
mm-hmm.
of what's going
so
on.
So they independently came to their own.
Was this last year?
Yeah, Pat was not on the board
at that point.
So they did come in to support the project. They just didn't ask what the town's needs were. Or their own, like I said, I'll say again, I'm not saying it's not some valuable projects in there. It's just a very, very large project, and a lot of them.
If it were whittled down to the top five or six most important aspects of this design, would that be something that was more interesting to you?
It's not really about being interested to me. It's about all the need we have, and then I just have to prioritize it, right? Like, one of the next agenda items is our grader's about ready to, you know, fall apart, right? Like, you know, we're doing the best we can as a town, and I just don't know. I mean, by all means, if somebody wanted to put on the town meeting agenda for $250,000 to do these projects, I mean, that's probably, I don't think the need supports the cost right now, I guess.
So you said, you know, by all means, if someone could say, here's $250,000 to do this project and it's on your agenda, that you would move forward with it, which sounds to me like, you know, you asked that I not draw down the town's resources in pursuing this. But if I can draw it out of my own resources and pursuing it, I mean, ultimately the town needs to apply for any grants. I can't apply for the town.
Yep. As long as them grants, I mean, in my opinion, them grants don't affect other projects that we would do.
Right, yeah.
You know, like when you hear about a Better Roads grant, everybody, you know, you can only go so far and it's only one project, so we can't. I think the board would look at the projects that we need, right, that we're talking about, right, and mm-hmm. go, you know, what do we, you know.
So you would be supportive of if I identified a grant for this project and brought it to the board without drawing down on the town's resources between.
Don't take this the wrong way.
Yeah.
Everybody probably will. I'm confused at what the ask is here. It's very large, and there's a few questions I had that were not, like, why was the wetlands added in, and why is this big long rock big? I would need to have, like I said, give me a defined project that you guys want to work on that we can work through. I mean, there's no way we can do what we can just start tackling all these projects, I don't think, as the town of Charleston. You know, I just don't see how that works. Mm-hmm. But I guess if you can come up with $250,000 that just doesn't affect anything else we do in the town, I think we'd start working through it.
Well, can I just say one thing? So, like, from the Bennett Farm to the bottom of the hill,
yeah,
we have pretty much changed every culvert on that road except for one. Right?
Since this was written?
No, that was since last year.
And this was written in October of 24.
Okay, so that was last year's storm. Okay.
Gotcha. Yep.
And then we also changed every culvert from Jordan, from the flat that heads to Jordan Road all the way to the old Red Schoolhouse. Now, just so that you have an understanding, the town spent $34,000 in just culverts for that one area. That's a lot of money for this town to absorb in one area.
And then some of them are being recommended to be changed.
And the problem is that you got to understand is we don't set the regulation for the culverts.
Mm-hmm.
The state does. So if we go putting in a three times the size of a culvert during one of these floods, that comes out of us. Out of the road budget.
I'm not asking for that. I understand that you have a limited budget, and I would identify a grant to provide those funds so it doesn't come out of the town's road budget.
So for me, okay, all I can say is this. We had our problem in July 10th. Was it three or one week later, we had another storm, right?
Right.
Yeah, it was like the next
week. We didn't lose what we fixed.
Yep.
And the rain took out the whole Toad Pond Road in Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't lose what we fixed.
And 111.
And you know this, because you drive that road all the time.
Yeah.
And the road only proceeded to the ditch line. It didn't come out into the road. So I think what we're doing is working. I mean, we're doing the best we can with what we get to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't know if you realize it or not, but 4-foot culverts and 3-foot culverts, you're talking $7,000-$8,000.
I do think that.
And then, well, and then the other thing, I mean, when you need them culverts, you need them, right? But
yes.
At the end of a 4-foot culvert, you have a huge ditch to take the end of that, right?
You have a lot of erosion.
And, which, you know, if it needs to be there, it needs to be there. I don't know. I guess in the effort of time, I appreciate the report and I appreciate the recommendation. If there's some funding that you guys know about, I think we would entertain that, I think, the board, but I don't think there's a lot of interest in using up the small available grants that we can, you know, call the state and be like, hey, we're doing this project, yep, okay, here's your grant for the year.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to, we put a lot of effort into looking for that project, right, that we want to use that on, and so this is like a lot of project, a lot of moving parts, a lot of, and I got a strong feeling that there's going to be some people not happy when we do all that work. And so the the reference that everybody's on board with this, I don't know that that's the case about the locals, because when I hear about it, I'm like, do not do that in front of my house.
I don't believe that. I don't believe I claimed that everyone was on board with it.
Well, we have some private drives, but I don't think on that side of the lake we're not going to get that issue. I think everyone would welcome having the road done. I mean, yes, Dean is, but you know, you're already taking care of him.
Sorry.
I don't know about taking care of, but I did what I had to do.
Yeah, but Pat, designs, let me just say something about those designs. Those aren't 100%. This is really just very preliminary. It's at the 30% level. So those projects need to really be looked at to better understand exactly what has to happen. You know, and this was a 2-year process, so Pat doesn't aware of this. So when you ask, were these done after the storms? They were done, the work and the analysis was all done in the middle of all those two years of storms.
The pictures, these grids were made October 11th, 24, you can see the date.
Right, that's when we finalized everything. But all the work, it was a 2-year project. They were out there on Echo for 2 years looking at this stuff. So.
Yeah, so, yeah. Yep.
But those designs are
And I apologize. What I was reading here was the board of ELPA and SLA were unanimous. That was the unanimous.
Okay.
So, not everybody. But,
yeah.
Have you posed this to the residents around them areas? Yes.
Certainly not all of them. It's not a complete survey, but I'd say half dozen landowners have come out saying that they're in support of it.
We've had two public meetings. Pat, certainly a fair number of residents came. It's been posted everywhere. I've gotten almost, I guess I can't, I have to say, I haven't had a single call about it in a negative way. And the landowners, when we that have the private drive issues, they all, yeah, sure, we want to do that. So.
Well, not all of them. I met one the other day, I didn't see it the other way. But I think, you know, for me, I don't know if you have any other questions on this or?
No, I don't have any questions on it.
I think we want to keep this as a recommendation. If something changes or there's some area that Wendell identifies that's within this, I want to have a conversation, you know, with you guys on, you know, if we can make it work, upsize it a little bit for a few dollars, we'll probably. I don't know if there's an appetite to go down the road of just changing the culverts right now and doing all these projects. So, but if something changes, you know, if like there's a bunch of money that comes available for like the Mappamingon watershed, and they're saying that they can, you know, use some of that to do that, let us know. We'll work through the ones that are most important to you.
Yeah, grants that we might not normally be watching would be really helpful, because the pace of this is very different than what we're used to. Like, I think of 10 Mile Square Road, which has been at least two better roads and at least two grants and aid projects to kind of chip away at that corridor, and that hasn't even completed it, you know. So that's
yeah, we did what way over what the grant wanted.
Right. Well, and it's been multiple grants, and while you're in the area, some other town-funded work is thrown in. But that's the pace normally, so this looks very different. But if there,
if there are
resources that aren't on our radar, please.
So I just have one more question.
Yeah. Sure.
So you know where the bridge is, right? On that crosses that lane where the dam is.
Yeah.
Okay, so you go up around the corner right here and go across the flat.
Yeah.
And then you have the person with the tired driveway, and their house that's down over the hill.
Her driveway.
Is it Pratt's old place?
No, Pratt's
It's down over the hill, and they have a speed bump in their driveway at the top.
Oh, that's Minton. You mean he's just beyond the dam, that guy. That one?
Yeah. Just headed up the hill there.
Oh, down on the hill.
Yeah.
Yes.
So is he all for this?
He would love to see the road created so it doesn't come in his driveway.
Okay, so explain how I'm supposed to do that.
No, I don't know. That's a good question.
I think he just sold his house.
Yeah,
I bet he's all for it then.
So what I'm trying to say is that how, because this is the problem I'm having, okay? Mm-hmm. I went up there to do a bunch of work, and I know that you have a 12-inch culvert, mm-hmm. where it comes around that corner right there by the bridge.
Yeah.
Okay? And I went up there, and I did all the ditching on the left-hand side of that. And I exposed all that ledge all the way up through there. And what kind of a wrath do you think I took from that fella right there?
Yeah.
Because the water was going where?
Down his driveway.
So I think that we had talked to that guy a couple of years ago, but it doesn't matter. When the water crosses the road and goes onto the property of the property owner, that person needs to mitigate that water. So there's things he could do to stop the water from going down his driveway. Just like over on the other side on the East Echo Lake Road.
Correct.
Sure. Where they want to take the culverts out while it's going down my ravine I have in the woods. Oh, you need to do something with that. You need to put some ditches in, crown it, make the water go off because you are silting in the lake. You are literally silting in the lake. Mm-hmm. So that's the challenge, I think, for the biggest impact. I mean, I feel confident that the town's done a really good job trying to stabilize runoff into that lake.
I agree. Great. So then just to put a button in it, I hear all your concerns.
Yep.
I understand and respect that you wouldn't like to pursue this at the moment. You'll keep them as recommendations. I will take on myself to see if I can identify an alternative funding source that wouldn't eat into the rest of the town's access to other funding. And I hope that if you have another project that you've identified that you do feel is a higher priority that you might spend town money on, please feel free to contact me. I'd be happy to come out and take a look.
Do we have his contact information, Colin? You do? Okay. That'd be great because I think we might be able to use that as a resource.
Perfect. Well, I really appreciate you all taking the time to talk about this today.
Thank you.
And if I could just add something, Patrick, because Colleen reached out to me when we had the floods. I think you did it in 2024, I think, about having something like we have this lake-wise program around the state to keep erosion out of the lake. Is there anything that the state has or anybody knows where it could help somebody up on Westmore so we don't have, you know, that road washing out and the Mad Brook going and taking out bridges down because it starts at somebody's house because the water just runs off the roof and across their lawn, right?
There is a Streamwise program.
Yeah, there is a Streamwise. But we had, Will was part of it, but a couple of weeks ago we did a presentation with the Nature Conservancy out of Montpelier, and it was just that discussion. It was open to anybody. I don't recall anyone from Charleston who wasn't on the lake attending, but it was to discuss the projects that happened, just what you're having to deal with, the roads. It was all about driveways and people's own houses, because somebody can do very similar things we do around the lake to stop that, control that water on their own property. You know, if their driveway isn't up to snuff, it takes out the town road. So we actually did that, and there's probably talk about continuing that. So I want to let you know that the people on Echo and Seymour are trying to help as well. We're not just,
So
this was for anyone.
No, these recommendations are good, so if we work on them projects, I think we'll definitely, you know, make sure we reach out or communicate with you guys. If we can do something that helps, if it works, we'll do that.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for coming.
We have been doing hydraulic studies, too, just so you know.
All right. So, we're going to...
You know what that is?
Well, I know, but I didn't know you were doing
them. Yeah, we're doing them. We've had a state new tool.
Yeah, we're working hard at it. We'll get there. A little at a time. All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It's nice to meet you, Larry.
You too.
Okay, so Orleans Essex VNA hospice appropriation request, same as previous.
Thank you.
Yes. Request to put their appropriation on the town meeting warning at $3,000, which is what they received last year.
So I need a motion for that. I'll make a motion. To
second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Ayes have it. All right, I'm going to skip over the old business stuff. Sorry, but... It happens a bit.
It's fine. It's I'll be quick.
They're not all 5-minute meetings when Tim runs a meeting.
Yeah.
Tim's not running a meeting. Tim's not running a meeting.
It's fine. I'm pretty straightforward. Yep. I've got it. I know this ordinance like back of my hand.
Perfect.
That's why I look at. But the reason why you're looking at the Town of Derby ordinance is because I did a little research. I could not for the life of me find the blank ordinance online that the state had pushed out July 24. I reached out to Renee Falconer. She thought she had it in an email. when we went to go to the link, it brought you to the league website, and it said we're not authorized to blah, blah, blah. I don't know what that was about. I don't know if they took it down or whatever. So she did say, though.
Did you log in and try to find it?
I did. Unless I'm just, no, this makes sense. It's you. I don't know. But I made a bunch of calls. I tried to check in with people. However, at the end of the day, the town of Derby, Renee Falconer worked with them to, they verbatim, word for word, used what the state put out. The only thing that they left blank, the state, was the fees. They wrote in what they wanted. Coventry went through this whole process where they tweaked stuff, and it took forever, and their lawyer had to look over it, and all this stuff. I left it exactly the same because I didn't feel that there was any really reason to change it. I really don't see the need. And I think that it is going to make it just a more painstaking process. So I have derbies. Section 1 through 3 is just very straightforward, verbatim, you know, definitions, the same. It's exactly what everybody says. Section 4, you know, just goes through the violations, which are pretty much what you would expect, you know, disturbing quiet, running at large, removing waste, and then interfering or damaging property, which is kind of similar to the other ordinance.
What is braying? Mm-hmm. What is braying?
Braying is what a donkey would do.
What's that?
Would
what
you like
that?
Me to get a donkey?
No, I'm just reading there. No. Bellowing, bleeding, braying, calling, clucking, crowing, crying, honking.
I'll go to the office and see if I can practice tonight.
So what's your, is your grapes classified as a fruit?
Well, I had grapes, but something ate them last night, so they're gone. They are a fruit.
Seriously?
Yeah.
It wasn't my goat, because he was locked
up. No, it was a bird. It was a bird. The whole cluster's still there. The berries are just gone. I didn't this year, so next year.
Section 5 just talks about enforcement, which we already have a ticket book. I already have a ticket book, so we're good there. And then Section 6 is the what we kind of wanted. I wanted to go over. I crossed out some of the air fines. I wrote it in what my recommendations were. And the reason why on the disturbing the peace is because I just feel like I would never. I feel like if we can always make it more lenient, but we can't start out too small and then wish we had increased it.
I'm good with what I'm seeing here, and it's been on the agenda multiple times in the last few months, months, and I've heard absolutely no opposition to it.
Yeah.
Have you heard any?
I have not heard any.
Colleen, have you heard anybody opposed to the proposed ordinance?
A couple of kind of uninformed comments from people who thought Charleston was anti-farmer, but it didn't actually make any sense, and they weren't based on.
Yeah. So let's be clear, anybody running a reputable farm is not going to come up against this ordinance anywhere.
Right.
This is
exactly. And it's not even for that, really.
The honest truth is that this is at our discretion. It's so that, I mean, I'm going to operate the way I've always operated, which is go and talk to the person, try to have a compromise, see if we can make, you know, whatever. But I just think it's good to have it in place that if we need to. And the reason why I really went up on Section D is that with the cost of things in the economy and inflation, $500, and this is only based on first-hearing experiences in Coventry, a herd of Highlanders taking out an apple orchard. $500 is not going to cut it. What I do think, yeah, so especially $300, like, really? And, I mean, Grand Isle, was that the town that we had the ordinance on? They did $800 for their max fines.
They got a vineyard.
Yeah. But I reached out to the league, and the max that we could have for a fine would be $800. I feel like that's just too steep.
So I'm good with what Derby's ordinance says for the fines. I mean, it looks good. I mean, this is, I want to be clear, nothing to do with farms and a cow that might get loose or a horse that might get loose.
This
is about somebody that wants to put 30 goats in the middle of the woods and not exactly maintain them and let them go destroy some of those. This is about somebody that has a bunch of cows that is not fencing them in and they're consistently
and just let them go.
And you know, so I'm just
that's not a farmer.
Right. And so I'm going to just, the only other thing I want to mention was I kind of really like looked into the impoundment section, which I wanted to, because I would have a scenario in mind that I could impound. So once you, if you don't know who they belong to, you have to post for 30 days. So that means you have to house what you impound for 30 days. So, of course, you're going to tread lightly there because, like, I could impound a goat, but really wouldn't want to take another.
So, basically, that's at the cost of the town to impound that.
So,
and
it's, you know what, it's the, you know, feeding and, you know, whatever, and the care of them.
You're set up to take it.
Yeah, just, life, yeah. Or, life or death medical. It's kind of like the planky horse situation type deal. Only at a lesser scale, but I figured the process out, and it's really not that. And then we could always go to what does it say, public auction if we have to recoup some of the money, or I could find it a home.
Sure, it'll be.
I'd probably just put a big barn up out back, and you know.
There you go. Keep one of each, like an Eric. Okay, so yeah. I think I'm good with it. I mean, I've reviewed it multiple times. We've discussed it multiple times. Tim, do you have any questions on it? All right, so I'll look for a motion to adopt this, the animal ordinance mirroring Derby's ordinance.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion.
I will second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Ayes have it.
So the only other portion was that I did reach out to the league. You can see his response. They will, they can give us an estimate if we want to provide the ordinance as written. They do charge $100 an hour for the review process. If we wanted to have the league review it. So I will say this, the reason why Derby chose to go like word for word verbatim of what the state put out is that they didn't even have their lawyer review it. They just knew that it was fine.
So this is what we just approved?
Yes.
And this is what we're going to go with?
Yes.
Okay. If it's exactly what Derby has, they're going to probably run
exactly what Derby has, other than, you know, our fees are a little bit steeper, but that's a money saver.
I feel confident that they went with what the league's going to back them up on. The league wants to charge a fee just so they can back us up on it. We're good.
Right.
So do you have anything else on the animal stuff?
Nope.
That we've kept you here
so
on
we'll
that.
We'll have to get a clean copy of this together next week because it will be part of the minutes, and we don't have to publish it, but we have to publish notice of its availability. So we can put something in the paper that sends people to a link on the website. That has to appear within 14 days.
Okay, so I have a copy of this, a Word copy, on my computer and my email. I can forward to you. Would that
great?
That'd
be awesome.
Okay.
Anything else on the animal control officer role?
I aim to be efficient, so.
Perfect. All right. Well, we will move on to the next item then. All right, so we're going to go to the old business there, the greater grant. We'll start there. So there was an update to the, they have another $9,000 available, brings us up to 47,000. The estimate we had for the greater was 62,000. Wendell did a little work today. Where are we at now, Wendell?
65,000.
So they're willing to give us a little more money for the greater.
Yes.
To get this deal done.
To get it done.
And we have some pretty major issues with the grader.
Well, we're going to have
this is going to be
I hope that the guy who gave us $65,000 doesn't hear this, but we're pretty concerned that if them go down, that $65,000 is not going to be an option. We're going to need a grader. So we have some options in front of us for funding Terry put together for us, correct?
I have it right here.
I looked at my email.
I've got it too.
I have it right here.
It was still had it.
Let me help you out here. I got that.
You got one already, Randall?
Yeah, I got one. Okay. I don't need another one.
Okay, so we have a loan coming, getting ready to come to completion here right off, right?
Yes.
When's that coming to completion?
Last payment is this fall. So it's done after the 2025 budget.
Okay, so we got two options here. One is without the roller, one is with the roller. I know the roller has got some pretty substantial benefits. One question I have for you, just because you guys graded Dane Hill today, chlorided it. Dane Hill's always a challenge, any hill, I guess, is with when you do that work, the gravel's loose, you're trying to get it packed and stabilized before it gets all bumpy. There's already some washboard on the going up side of Dane Hill. Very minor, but you can see it. Mm-hmm. And so the chloride ain't even had time to set the stay mat up. Would the grader roller help?
If you had that roller, you wouldn't have that.
With the roller, that's something that might have
been
before.
I've seen it work, and I'm telling you, it's pretty impressive.
So basically, you grade it, you roll it before or after the stay mat? Before? I mean, before chloride? Chloride.
No, you roll it before you chloride.
Yeah, and then
and
chloride.
It is going to be.
Yeah. Basically, a big roller on the back of the grader, right? That comes down.
Yeah. How many is it?
And it's an offset. You realize that, right? There's two different sets of wheels in the offset. So that means the sides of your ditches.
You can move. You can move them out and back.
Yes. So when you offset it, that means the sides of your ditches are going to get back. Now.
You got somebody that can run it.
Yes.
Actually, on that note, I would like to just, give Wendell a little praise on this. I actually see that he had the Mark, the new guy, in the grader grading today. And when I say that type of cross-training, that's huge, right? Like, if you can run all the, if everybody on the team can run all the equipment and make everything work, that's.
And I can tell you, he did a very good job today.
He really did. And when I see him in the grader, I was like, oh, he runs a grader? And I was like, I'm going to get him. He's going to, you know, so that's. That's very good, managing your team and making sure that, you know, everybody's able to do the job.
That roller's only that much?
So this payment, is that a year? The 57.5?
Yes.
Okay. So basically, the difference for the roller or no roller is about $11,000 a year. About $100.
The roller's 40.
Yeah, 50 grand.
So the roller is about $100 a month. Just under, because the difference in the payment for the year is $11,059.
Well,
so,
what if
we're talking $100 a month for the roller, and I think the benefit is probably
huge.
You know, I've seen a lot of times where you grade these steep inclines, and then you get a big little, it could be even a little storm comes through,
little brooks through it. Even on the flats, you're not going to have to grade as often.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's probably worth going with the roller.
I would have to say it would be.
Terry's not here, but I'm assuming by this paper she put together, we're confident that we can make this work until. So basically, we're just going to budget this payment next year, right?
Correct. The immediate decision would be how much of the road equipment reserve fund to use as a down payment.
What if we did a little bit more? Would the payment go down a little?
Mm-hmm. We could. And I, you know, maybe I'm on the wrong side of this, but I'm always the advocate for keeping our money. What's the interest rate?
It's about 5%.
I'm an advocate for keeping the money at 2 or 3. The 5%.
And if there are other down payment scenarios, we can get specifics. We didn't want to give the bank an endless list.
And maybe this is not information we have right now. Is there I'm just thinking outside the box. Say we go down this road and buy this. Is there an early payoff fee? Let's say, because it sounds like interest rates might be coming down. Let's say they come down. Can we refinance this in a year? Or is there something in the loan that says that you can't pay it off early?
Usually we have flexibility, but we can ask that question.
I mean, I don't want to hold up. So, I've been working with Wendell and communicating with some of the needs on the graders. And I mean, I'm no mechanic on it, but I don't know that I want to go down the road of the grade is worth $65,000 today, and it's worth $20,000 because it's sitting up on top of Westmore Mountain with a blown transmission.
Yeah.
Good. The mower board's got huge issues.
Well, the mower board has issues, and I also think that the lockers have issues.
You were telling me about that when you had it locked up the other day. It's making some huge noise. The grader is 26 years old.
That's at 09.
Quick math, carry the one.
So is that 16?
Yeah.
It's an 09, 25. Okay, yeah, so it's 16.
Yeah, I don't believe there's any early payoff fee. I think Terry, in conversation, just mentioned that was
possible. I don't think, with municipal loans, I don't think there actually is, but. I almost think we need to buy a grader. What's your thought, Tim?
I agree with you. Because if something happens to it, and then
I know Terry's not here, but we've had the conversation in past meetings. He was supportive.
Terry's been supportive of it.
I know you hate to say yes, but it's in the town's best interest.
It is.
I'm going to make a motion that we do it.
I will second it, but we need to motion more clear on what option we're going to go with and what we're going to put down. So what do we have? We have $232,000 in the fund. We're proposing $75,000.
Let's see. I don't know that for you.
What's 100? Because I'm just, it's going to be hard to figure, but what does 100 do for us?
So you'll have 157.7 left.
6, 8, 22, -75. Yeah, it's hard to figure without the interest, but I'm just trying to figure out how much the payment would go down if we did 100,000 instead of 75,000 down.
Well, that would put you at $165,000 down.
What?
I mean,
$165,000. Yeah, and I'm trying to figure it, but I can't. It's hard to figure without the right calculator to do the interest and everything. We're looking good on our budget this year, right? I didn't build the budget, but we're doing good. So we're hopefully might have a little bit of surplus. We shouldn't be over.
Well, the only thing that's gonna just so you know, they did end up getting over 9,000 yards of gravel crushed in the pit. So what we have there, and we figure out what we're going to do with the...
We budgeted for 10 or 8,000, 8 or... We budgeted for about that much, right? So that doesn't put us over?
No.
Well, it should be, because we didn't have to bail, so...
Yeah, but no. So the cost that we budgeted, I think the equivalent we thought was around...
I think they budgeted $40,000 for it.
And so are we over that with the gravel?
Oh, yes.
How much? Don't know. Yeah.
Well, six fifty times 9,700, say.
So 23,000. So what I'm trying not to have to do is have a big increase because of the level funding. And, you know what I mean? And then go into... $100,000. That's going to leave us $132,000, and hopefully we'll have a little bit of surplus. Brings the payment down more, probably in line with what we're paying. What are we paying? What's the payment right now?
49.2.
I'm guessing with that extra 25, it's probably going to take about $5,000. I'm just guessing five, maybe a little more off that yearly payment.
Be pretty close.
Well, then, and then we got the extra. So yeah, it's actually going to be that extra $3,000. Yeah. Okay, so. We agree on putting down $100,000. I mean, I think that's probably responsible of us to try to buy some of that down if we need. Mm-hmm. If we have some major issue and we need to do something, we will have to finance it, right? But, you know, if it's over the $130,000. Okay, so I'll look for a motion to buy the greater option 2 with $100,000 down and trading the trade-in value of $65,000.
I'll make a motion.
All right, I will second that. Is that clear enough for what we need?
And we're buying a roller?
The option 2 is one of the roller. Okay. And we put $100,000 down. They're going to give $65,000 for it. And so that's the motion on the floor. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Ayes have it.
Can't say fine.
Okay. So the grader is done deal.
So the board will then decline the grant. So we'll have to do that officially.
I will make a motion to decline the grant.
I'll second it.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Main purpose of the grant was to was way less than what we were going to get for it, and for obvious reasons.
So
okay.
I'll probably just have something for you to sign at the next meeting.
Okay. And they have the unit on site. They have the unit available. Right.
Yeah, I got to talk to them about
yeah. Yeah. So we'll just have to work through the process with Colleen, and
yep.
It'll take a little bit of time, but we'll get there. Okay. And then, so plow in class 3, that was an old business thing I wrote down.
Oh, yes, that was just just making sure everyone was aware of the statute that gives towns authority to, you know, vote not to plow a class 3 road in winter if there are safety, no turnaround situations, so... It's something to consider that's less than reclassifying a road if there are problems identified.
Is there, I don't know if this is even an option, is there a way somebody from the leagues could come in to one of our meetings, or do they do that? Or maybe Zoom in? Like, I'm curious about, we have a couple roads that would fit into this model that the road crew is always identified as getting stuck on and no place to turn around. So that would be one that, okay, we can't safely plow this. The board makes a decision not to plow a certain road because there's no place to turn around. Does the resident then give us a place to turn around? And we, you know, I got questions on how that works. I don't know that, I guess I've never realized a class 3 road we could opt out of plowing. And what does that look like? So if we say no because of X, Y, and Z and we're backed up on that, what makes it so that we can plow it, right?
Right.
Because I'm assuming if I was a resident on the end of a class 3 road,
I'm going to
say, fine, make a
turnaround. Right.
But that's what they've not allowed us to do now, right? We've got a road that... Like,
got a couple.
Well, some of them are turnarounds, but we run into the same problem that we had the other day.
On Bennett Farmer, same thing. It's a very small...
Tight.
It looks like a driveway, but it's a class 3 road.
Correct.
Okay, and they expect us to go into this... driveway identifies a class 3 road with a big plow truck with a wing on it.
Correct.
And migrate through that and just, you know, I hope that you're chasing the bus and not chasing them roads.
That's exactly
like,
what
you know, I mean, we're not stuck on a class 3 road that has one driveway on it that you can't turn around in when we can't get the bus up Westmore Mountain or whatever, right? Like, yeah, I'm sure you're migrating through that. So I don't know if there's a way to look into that, if there's somebody, or if we just have to hire our own lawyer to come in and read this.
You might be able to start by, like, if we can put some of the basic scenarios or questions in writing, they will respond.
Answer them. I don't mind calling the leagues, but I would rather, after dealing with them before with, like, multiple different people, I'd rather just have it, like, kind of in email, because I think once they put it in email, they're going to have to defend that email. Like, okay. This is what's going on. We had a situation where I talked to multiple people who were getting these. I'm supportive of not plowing a couple of these class 3 roads unless we can get some sort of fix. But I don't want to go down that road and then be like, well, where'd this come from, right? I'm not advocating to throw these roads up by any means. I'm just saying there's a couple of roads that...
To plow. For plowing.
Yeah. We don't have any problem in the winter. In the summer, I mean, it's just like... I actually was... I was doing a site visit for my job at a location on one of these roads, and the resident kind of articulated to me that, well, sometimes they show up real late and then they get here and they get stuck. And I said, well, probably because they're chasing the bus on the roads where the bus has to go. And when they get here, the weather's got so bad and your road is not really able for us to turn around with this big truck. And now they're stuck in it and they're not happy about it either. You know, but we're maintaining, we're getting through it. And maybe there's something here that we can kind of work together with these landowners to figure that out. Because we all know that these ones we're looking at are roads that somebody knew somebody back in the day, and it's grandfathered in. So we're going to respect that. But at the end of the day, there's some safety concerns there. There's some, you know.
Well, you can't be up there pulling a truck onto the wrecker. It costs you guys money to do that.
Well, you should be able to do it with a grader.
Yeah.
That we just bought. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But I don't want to go down there. I mean, we have things we do, you know, we have the standards we have to meet, so we're not going to go down that road until we know that it's right. But it sounds like it's a possibility.
Good.
I guess anything anybody wants to, I can call the leagues on it and see what they say. I don't want to do that. Do you mind sending an email?
Not
or do you
all.
Want me to do?
Not at all. I can get started. Yeah, you have to log in to their website now in order to do anything, so it's secure. I can do that. They may, sometimes they want to talk to the officer who has authority,
okay.
But I can at least start it,
okay.
You know, and
yeah, let me know
I can do.
Okay.
And,
if I understand correctly, the town's first choice would probably be to work with the landowner to have a safe access, right?
I think so.
And then, but this is maybe a negotiation point?
Well, I think, because I just got a feeling by reading through it, that's where it's going to shake out. If we say, okay, this ordinance says we don't need to do that, they're going to go, okay, here's your turnaround. Now
right.
You need to.
Right.
I, you know, and it might be easier if that's going to be the end result. Maybe we just go to the landowner and say, listen, we're going to have to stop plowing unless we can do X, Y, or Z. Maybe we can figure that out.
Okay.
And I'm going to be honest with you. Some of these, I know these roads are. A class 3 road is impactful. And meeting a dump truck on a class 3 road is the standard. And so, like, that's what we're running into. We're getting up there, and it's a 10-foot road. And we're trying to turn around on it. And we go, well, we need to widen this thing to 30 feet or whatever. No, you're not. That's what we're talking about then.
Right.
If we can't work through that, then, yeah. Okay.
Some of them, I don't even know how you do it.
Well, you can do it. It's just, it's very impactful. That's the thing. So let's see if we can get to. We may be able to work through it with the residents. And then the renaming, it sounds like we have some people, the school is willing
to.
Yes, the
school is interested in doing something to mark the anniversary. Not sure what it is yet because they're just getting started. But I did communicate the select board offer. You know, if
mm-hmm.
financial support is needed, please talk to the board. They would be willing to consider supporting something. And so they will. It was Lorinda Maxwell that I spoke with. And she also said it might be nice to do something in the town report, and she would be happy to take part in writing something up if the board would like that. Like kind of.
I think it's a great idea. I mean, you know,
info.
We'll still have another cover, right? If we had, there's usually there's the back cover and the front cover or something. Is that what you guys
do? Yeah, we kind of reserve the inside back cover for like dedication, so that would be a place.
Okay.
Yeah,
this would be on the front, whatever.
Yeah, I think we would probably work it into both places.
Okay.
There's not. Like, the front usually has a graphic, but mostly we have the information about town meeting. So,
yep.
Yeah.
I'm good. You don't need a motion on that, right?
I'm
good with putting
feedback.
Basically, we're putting the renaming of the town on the town book. I think it's a good idea. And then they already know if they need some money, they can come see us, and we'll see what we can do.
Yes. Thank you.
Fireworks. People with stilts. Cartwheels. We can put that new grader in there in the parade.
Yep.
Okay, we've been here long enough. I know my supper's probably cold by now. Okay, so discuss possible gravel pit survey is where we're at now. I think we need to survey it, in my opinion.
I agree with you.
There's no survey on any of the properties around it, or there's one or something. But
the one behind us that has a right-of-way through the pit has a survey.
Has a survey. And there's been some other people thinking they got right-of-ways and things like that. So
yes, I think we need to get it surveyed.
I think for long-term, you know, for the town, it's going to be very beneficial to know where the lines are. I asked Colleen to reach out to the town of Barton to see about setbacks, so that once we know where the lines are, how close can we get to the line? And I think they're looking into it, right? Because it doesn't fall under zoning; it's land use, basically. Right. Which is, I thought it was going to go that way.
Yeah, so, they're probably like, the third. I don't think it comes up, and it's unique. And, yeah.
They're going, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And that's why we stopped crushing.
Yeah, well, I mean, the main reason I kind of want to know is you look at the property, it comes back to a point like that, right? Like, once we know what the setbacks are, once we got it staked out, we know where we can stop. Like, okay, stop here, you know. Or we or some future board and future road crew will find themselves in some trouble there. Because the neighboring property is going to go, whoa.
You're on ours.
Yeah. Okay, so we have a few that have sent in that they're able and willing to do it?
Yes. Three offered prices. Two of them had proposals. One of them was just a number in an email.
Can we, just for, you know, for the time, because there's a board member not here, can we put the proposals on the agenda for the next meeting?
Yes.
And the ones that have submitted prices, I don't know if you wanted to ask the other two if they want to submit a price to be eligible to say, okay, we're going to survey it, but you guys didn't submit a price. Let me back up a little bit.
Sure, just give them a deadline. So
should we have are they all bidding on the same thing? Should we have like a scope of work or not?
I don't know how to make one.
Well, I think that we want to survey the land and blaze the lines. So that was one of the options that one of the people had said. So we can survey it, or then it was more money to blaze the lines, which is to actually mark out the lines in the, not just do it on the line survey, but to actually mark it on the property.
Well, that would be a little better, so you can actually see it, know where it is.
Yeah, I think, and that's huge for neighboring properties, yeah, too, right? There's this, you know, so I think that's the option that we would want to pursue.
Oh, okay.
But definitely.
And so if even the three that gave a price, is it, if we got to wait, I'd like to try to get this done before winter or early fall, but I just want to make sure that they're all bidding on the same thing. We don't necessarily have to have a scope of work, but
I see, you know, one didn't submit a proposal, only a price in an email, and we did ask for a formal proposal, so I can remind them.
Okay.
One of them does mention blazing specifically. The other mentions pins, corner pins. So I could ask, you know, are you including blazing, or do you need to adjust?
So I don't do this for them, but I think when they blaze the trail, basically you can look and you can see from pin to pin to pin all the way. So like anybody that's walking through the woods, they basically blaze the trail with pins and ribbons, not just corner pins,
yeah,
right? Like, so you have a square property, everybody knows where their pins are, we all do it, right? But like when I go across my field, where the fuck it is, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that's what maybe I'm wrong, but I think that's what blazing the lines are, is actually physically putting them in the woods.
So isn't it sometimes trees and paint?
They'll say the cherry tree next to the brook, and then the cherry tree's gone. But then they can always. The only reason I think that's what that term is because I know some people that do it, and they'll be like, okay, there, I can see the next one there. They blazed a trail through here. Logging, things like that comes into it a lot. I just think with that gravel pit, the way it goes right back into there, we got the road that comes down, it'd just be good to have it blazed.
Blazed so you can see the property lines when you're on the ground.
If we have time this winter, we're going to go down there and we're going to cut some of the trees off the top of the road crew.
Yeah. And
so that we can keep going back with the gravel, but we just got to know where we can go.
Yeah. Okay, so let's put it on for the next meeting. If we need to wait another meeting to get the proposals, fine, but it'd be nice if we can have two or three to pick from, but are reputable survey companies.
I'll reach out and let people know of the intent to review them at the next meeting. I'll make sure that they all include blazing. So I'll try to get that done.
If they have some questions, shoot them over to us. I'll see if I can we can answer them or on email. But if not, I mean, if we need to wait another meeting, we can. So so gravel pit, we are agreeing. We'll wait till we have proposals to make a motion, but we agree we want to move forward to that. Any other old business? We approved the bills already. Announcement, September 11th, Planning Commission meeting will begin at 5 p.m. And is that we have a meeting to follow, but at 6?
Yes.
And they're doing it earlier because there's some information, right, or something?
Yeah, there's a kind of mapping effort that someone from NVDA is coming to do, and it's part of the town plan stuff, and it just takes a little while to to give feedback on it.
Okay, and then Vermont PVR approves statistical reappraisal for the 26 grand
list. Property Valuation and Review, that's the office who oversees listing and reappraisals. As the board was aware, I think the listers had proposed a reappraisal has been ordered because of property values. The listers proposed a statistical reappraisal, which is less costly and complicated than visiting every property. It was approved. They've kind of been assuming that it would be, but it was officially approved. So that's proceeding as planned, but it's just good to know that we're not going to be required to do the visit every property.
Translation, are my taxes going down?
No. if it's up to me.
Yeah, somebody's going to do it from an office now. Okay, the next meeting is September 11th.
No, they do visit a sample. Yeah. And when we got 53,000 toward FEMA reimbursement, just this week, so now we are waiting for the final 270,000.
Well, we obviously approved to buy a grader tonight, but I will just throw it out there that I know that the town pickup we've got it fixed, but it's old, and the excavator is probably going to have to be replaced at some point. It ain't going to happen this year, but it's going to have to be on the horizon, and at some point we're going to have to look at it. You know, I mean, I see the work that Wendell's doing with it, and you can see the bucket flopping around.
It's getting better.
Nobody wants to hear these things, but I'm telling you, we have to maintain our roads. We have to be able to do this project.
Sometimes you got to replace it.
All right, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
All in favor? Aye.